sealing off the leaking stumps of his fingers so he didn't bleed to death. Lori was doubled over on her knees, her skirt riding up, revealing her buttocks and attracting lustful glances from many of the sec men. Christy stood close to her, watching what Mephisto was doing, determined not to show any weakness.
Bring him round. I want him conscious for all of this.
The nearest sec man slapped the old man hard across the face, a ringing round-arm blow that jerked a skull on the thin neck. His cheeks swollen and bruised, Lauren jerked back to awareness. Tamar reached down and gripped him by the jaw.
Listen to me. This is for your son and all his stoop killing. He'll hear this and know what awaits him.
He let go and looked at Christy Roth.
And this waits for you after our talk.
Tamar extended a hand to Mephisto, who dropped the severed fingers of their captive into the huge pale palm. 10 pieces of bloodless meat jointed, with chipped nails tipping them. The Baron smiled and walked to the edge of the dock, scattering the fingers on the surface of the water with a joyous gesture of release.
First course, my pets!
Christy noticed that the front of the man's elegant breeches was swollen with a truly frightening erection. She looked away. Mephisto, at a signal from the Baron, picked up a large cleaver and ran a thumb along the edge, like a lover caressing his mistress's body. 50 yards out into the Atchafalaya swamp, there was a rippling of water. Then a long, spade-shaped head protruded, eyes glittering under ridges of bone, the ferocious snout raised to the evening air.
Do we all agree?
Ryan Cotter faced the entire West Lowellton Street gang. Nobody spoke. They all watched him with a sullen, grudging respect.
Well, they don't disagree, Ryan.
We go midnight. Plan sounds good to me, Ryan.
Best we got. It works, and you get to drain the swamps and build your windmills around dawn tomorrow.
You don't wake, and we get to dig us some graves.
Lori shook as though she was suffering from some dreadful ague. She held her head in her hands, her palms pressed hard against her ears to try to shut out the hideous cries of the tortured old man. Christy, her face set like marble, determined not to show the gloating Baron and his sniggering sec boss any weakness, watched without flinching. She spoke only once.
I'll never forget this. And I'll be there when the score is settled with you and your sick, stinking filth. I swear it by Gaia.
By then, Father Lauren was close to death. Mephisto had hacked away at both feet, sawing them off at the ankles, again using the hot tar to curtail the bleeding and cauterize the wounds. Out in the lagoon, the massive caiman waited patiently for each severed limb and bit of flesh. Its jaws, gaping wide enough to swallow a swamp wag wheel, snapped at each white foot, gulped it down with no discernible effort or pleasure. Then the creature disappeared into the murk, until only its eyes broke the scummy surface. Mephisto looked down in irritation at some specks of blood that dirtied his nice clean suit.
Hands next, Baron?
Maybe his cock, Mephisto. Or his ears. Maybe his lips or nose. So many choices. Yes, ears and then nose. No, wait. Be difficult to use the pitch on his face. That can come later. Hands next, and then the cock.
Christy judged that merciful death finally spread its mantle over the old man at about the moment when the kneeling sec boss began to hew clumsily at his remaining wrist. The blood, no longer spurting vigorously from the stumps, simply oozed sluggishly across the stained concrete.
He's gone.
Throw his hands to our pit.
What about the rest of the fucker?
Carry on with the cock and then do his face. There's the big flagpole in front of the motel. Haul what's left up there with a notice about what happens to enemies of Baron Tormont. Leave it to the crows.
The warm, humid Louisiana evening was closing in around them as the girls were driven back to the cellar at gunpoint. Once more, the Baron bound them to the tables. Before leaving them, he smiled beneficently.
I trust you enjoyed the entertainment? Later, sluts. We can talk later.
Ryan Cotter was restlessly pacing around the lobby of the Adelphi Cinema, watching darkness descend on the neighborhood. At Jack Lauren's orders, most of his small army was resting or asleep, with a skeleton crew on sentry patrol. Doc had also fallen asleep, after having entreated Ryan to wake him should there be any news of action. Finnegan had found his way into the kitchen and was stoking up his boilers, ready for the firefight to come. JB joined Ryan, and the two old friends walked together.
Not long.
No. I wish we could wreck some around the Baronsville.
Why can't we?
Yeah, why not? I'll check with a kid and get us a map of the region. We've got good ones. Seen them. Just you and me, JB, like old times. What do you say?
JB rubbed his fingers contemplatively over the darkening stubble on his chin. Then he grinned.
Yeah.
But Jack Lauren wasn't so keen on their going out so soon before the attack. His hair flowed about his shoulders as he gesticulated, waving his hands.
What the fuck you want to do this? We got maps. You know where the Ville is. We'll be with you. Fucking stay here.
No. If you fear us going to betray you to Tourmont, we're leaving Finn and Doc here with you. If we get a fight with you, we want to see what we can first. We'll return in good time. It's only 7 now. Our plans are to leave here at 11, so we'll be back by then. 3 hours from now. I want to go and look at what we're tackling.
Too late to change plans.
Why would we change them? They're fine as they are. Just fine.
When they were prepared, Ryan and JB each carried one of the flashlights from the Holiday Inn on their belts, as well as their usual armaments. The weather was calm, the air still. Jack opened the maps one more time, showing them where and where not to walk. He pointed out swamps that had risen over old highways or trails that were patrolled by the Baron's Sekhmen. Both men listened carefully, committing the information to memory. Jack patted them both on the shoulder as they left the lobby of the old vid house.
Come back safe.
Ryan half grinned, still finding it hard to believe that this war leader was a lad of just 14. In some ways, the wreck was abortive. They found their way along the abandoned suburban streets, past the entrance to a massive shopping mall, taking the route that the albino kid had shown them. A couple of times they were startled by animals, once by a massive armadillo, with its family in tow, crossing the blacktop in front of them. Another time they never saw the creature, but they heard it moving through high brush at the back of some houses. They stopped where they were and waited for it to pass. Eventually, they managed to get within sight of the Best Western Snowy Egret, but the area was crawling with sec patrols, moving in groups of 5 or 6, using generator-powered searchlights that cut through the night, making it impossible to approach within 100 yards. They crouched in a grove of white beams on the edges of a large derelict mansion.
Have to take them out first thing.
Ryan patted the butt of the G-12 with its bulky night sight.
It'll be easy with this, but as soon as we open up, they'll know what's going down.
If the plan works, they won't have time to do anything about it.
Ryan peered at the front of the big building, noting that there were no gates to contend with. He was about to crawl back when something caught his eye.
Fire blast.
What?
There. That pole.
JB followed his pointing finger, finally making out the tall metal bar rising vertically in front of the motel. The lights were dazzling, and it was some seconds before his eyes adjusted to take in what it was that dangled from a rope some 30 feet in the air.
Man or woman?
Ryan had brought a small, powerful pair of night glasses with him, and he reached for them, his heart sinking. It was undeniably a naked corpse. The rope was knotted around its neck, but the lamps threw it into a sharp contrast of brightness and shadow, making it hard to see it clearly. He focused the glasses,